People tell me that I'm wasting my life working as a delivery driver for Domino's. But at 42 years old, I think most of my life had been wasted already. However, I honestly tend to disagree. I think my life is pretty good. My job is easy. I don't get lonely because of my dog who waits for me at home. I also have a lot of friends. I just only hang out with them in video game lobbies. I may not have a wife or a girlfriend, but I find the idea of having one tedious and time-consuming anyway. I can take care of my needs myself. I never felt like I missed out on anything. I had a pretty fun childhood. I just never really had a passion or a dream to chase. I just like to vibe at home and do the little things I like. I've had my current job for 15 years. While many pizza delivery jobs have been taken by stuff like Uber Eats, the Domino's I work at has held on to me since I've been there so long. I know one day I'll probably have to join my enemy and deliver stuff on a stupid app. But for now, I like being the pizza guy. Unfortunately, something happened to me last week, and I feel the need to get it off my chest. In general, I'm familiar with the good and bad neighborhoods to deliver to. One night, I got an order to deliver to an area that I knew well for having a lot of rowdy teenagers. They liked to prank the pizza delivery guy in various ways, although I didn't think anything of it at the time. I took the pair of pizzas and drove to the address. It was very dark out on the street. Apparently, someone had smashed out several street lights in front of the house. I could tell there was a large van parked in the driveway, and someone was leaning against the side of it. They looked a little shady, but I've delivered to houses full of gang members before, so I wasn't exactly fazed. I walked up to him and asked if he had ordered the pizzas. "Hey man, are these for you?" "What's on them?" "One cheese, one pepperoni, and anchovies." "That's cat food." "Then I guess you didn't order them. Is there someone else in the house?" "Give me the pizzas." "I can't unless I know you're the one who ordered them. Sorry, man."
"I said hand them over, fatty."
That's when he brought out a switchblade and put it up to my face. I handed over the pizzas immediately. I didn't even take them out of the bag. I wasn't about to be stupid and lose my life over a couple pizzas. I started to back away and leave. But then things got worse. The back door of the van opened up. Then three other men jumped out and surrounded me. They were all holding knives up to me.
"Empty your pockets, piggy! Give us everything!"
"Okay, okay, but I don't have much, I swear!"
I turned out my pockets and gave them my phone and my wallet with $15 in cash tips in it. I'd left my keys in my car and kept it running like I usually do. It's a beat-up 20-year-old Ford, so it wasn't worth stealing. Unfortunately, the guys mugging me were disappointed about the low turnout. They closed in and kept pressing me to give up more, but I didn't have any more.
"Where's the rest? Don't try hiding anything from us. We know you got more money than that."
"I don't, I swear. I'm just a pizza delivery driver. Please, please, you gotta believe me. I'm not trying to be a hero."
"You got that right."
Suddenly, one of them stabbed me in the stomach. And then it was a frenzy. I collapsed completely. They stabbed me repeatedly all over my stomach, chest, and back. They kicked me in the ribs and shouted horrible things at me. I thought it was going to last forever. I really thought it was over for me. That this was the last breath I would take. Thankfully, it stopped. One of the men got down and rifled through all my pockets and patted me down for anything else. But just like I told him, he didn't find a single thing. Swearing in disappointment, the four of them climbed into the van and sped off. After a moment spent waiting to bleed out, I got a sudden rush of adrenaline. I caught my breath and rose to my feet a second later. Then, without thinking, I got into my car and drove myself to the nearest hospital. I bled all over my car's interior on the way there. Then I parked in front of the entrance and fell out of my car. I was taken into the hospital where I survived. Other than a few cracked ribs and, of course, all the major blood loss from being stabbed so many times, I didn't have any other injuries. Not a single vital organ, nerve, or major artery was damaged. Apparently, the pocket knives they stabbed me with were too short to get past all my body fat. It pays to be a lazy lard sometimes, I guess. I was discharged from the hospital a few days ago. I'm still healing, but I'm doing quite well under the circumstances. Once I can move around without opening my wounds, I plan to go back to work. Once I get my car detailed, obviously. My boss said he would understand if I didn't want to be a delivery driver anymore, but I'd much rather keep my job as long as I can. I've been robbed many times making deliveries, but that was the only time I ever feared for my life. The thing is, though, it was just a senseless crime. I don't want it to ruin my life. I'd prefer business as usual. As for the guys that attacked me, they've yet to be found. But then again, it hasn't exactly been long. I described them as young, even though I couldn't see their faces well. They were probably the ones who broke the streetlights, and I bet they knew the house was vacant too. My guess is that they didn't even need the money. They just wanted to play pretend as criminals. During the summer between my junior and senior year of high school, I did some babysitting to earn money. The family I worked for lived down the street from my house, so it was really convenient. Both parents worked full-time and had two boys at home. The younger son was 9, and the older one was 12. The boys could be pretty hyper and didn't really clean up after themselves, but aside from that, they were pretty tame. My favorite part of babysitting, aside from the money, were their three adorable cats. They were really shy and hid in all sorts of unusual places. I would be tidying things up when a cat would pop out of nowhere and run away from me at top speed. I always found it funny, but I never fully considered why they were so skittish. One of the boys' favorite games to play together was find the cat or catch the cat. It was fun to watch them run around looking for the cats, but it made more work for me when they started tearing things up in the process. Of course, the cats didn't voluntarily participate, so I knew when one of the boys suddenly had a bunch of scratch marks on them that they had won the game. One day, the mother left me a note asking me to clean the dishes in the sink because she hadn't had the time for a few days. When I looked, the sink was literally overflowing with dishes onto every surface in the kitchen. I told the boys to entertain themselves for a while and got to work. They immediately started up a game to catch the cat. This time they were especially rowdy. I kept yelling at them to calm down before they broke something, but they didn't listen. It was really irritating, but I buckled down and finished the dishes. Once I was finally done, I went looking for them so I could get them to calm down or at least do something else less annoying. I was caught off guard by their behavior. They were running around and laughing like little goblins, cheering about their success in the game. I kept stalking them around the house without any luck. Every time I caught one of them, they ran off. They almost tripped me several times. I had no idea what had gotten into them. This was by far the worst they had ever been. At one point, I walked by the laundry room and heard the dryer running. I stopped. I was certain that the washer and dryer hadn't been on when I first came to the house, and the mom hadn't mentioned anything about doing laundry or making sure the kids washed their dirty clothes while she was gone. Then, the older son appeared behind me out of thin air. I let out a small scream in surprise. Something about the way he was smiling was deeply unsettling. I couldn't place why I knew, but I could just tell that he had done something bad. So I asked him what was going on.
Jason, why is the dryer running?
Mom was doing the laundry before she left. Don't you remember?
I know that's not true. She's been gone for hours, and you shouldn't lie. What are you drying?
Why don't you go look?
A chill ran down my spine. He was up to something for sure. I walked over to the dryer and looked through the door. The only things inside were the older kid's lacrosse uniform and a black thing that I couldn't identify. The display said there was only a few minutes left in the cycle, so the dryer had been running almost the entire time I was doing the dishes. It had been on the highest setting for over an hour. When I stopped it, I heard a thud that sounded like a boot hitting the bottom of the drum. I was almost too scared to check what was in it, but I knew I had to. I opened the door and nearly threw up from the awful stench that hit me in the face. It was unlike anything I had ever smelled, and the little monster standing in the doorway started to laugh. Fearing the worst, I took the uniform out to see what the black thing was. For a moment, I couldn't even tell. But then I realized it was one of the cats. It was mangled from the constant spitting and had evacuated its bladder and bowels all over itself and inside of the dryer. It had been burned alive. Pieces of its fur were singed off. The poor thing was completely limp. Without a doubt, it was dead. I screamed in absolute horror and started to cry. That heinous little kid was smiling and laughing with pride and amusement.
Oh my God! Why would you do this?
I was playing Cook the Cat.
You little freak! You're a monster!
Let's play Burn the Babysitter!
Suddenly, the little brother appeared, holding his mother's hair straightener. He ran right at me and tried to burn me in the face with the hot iron. At the last second, I grabbed him by the wrist and yanked him into the air. But he still managed to burn me across the shoulder. I shouted in pain and wrenched the iron from his hands, then threw it behind the washing machine. I ran out of the laundry room and locked myself in the master bedroom. I called the mother to tell her she needed to come home immediately. When she arrived, I told her what happened, but she didn't believe me. I had to show her the dead cat in the dryer. She was understandably distraught. It had never occurred to her that her son was capable of doing something like that. She begged him to say it was an accident, but he admitted with sick satisfaction that he did it on purpose. At a loss, the mother told me I could go, and that she understood if I didn't want to babysit for them anymore. I let her know as kindly as I could that her children were psychopaths and I hoped I never saw them again. I made $1,000 that summer, but I would pay it all back with interest if I could erase the memory of seeing the body of that poor cat in the dryer. I can't imagine how much it suffered before it died. I don't know what the parents did to punish their kids, but I'm sure it wasn't enough. From that day on, I lived in fear of those little monsters. Occasionally, I would see them in the neighborhood. They would always stop what they were doing and stare at me with blank expressions as I passed. I moved out to college as soon as I could. But when I visit home, I'm afraid. Every day, those horrible kids grow bigger, stronger, and more dangerous. My older brother has two young daughters, 3 and 5 years old. It's nice to be an uncle to his kids. He usually works from home while his wife goes to the office, which kind of makes him a stay-at-home dad. But a few weeks ago, he got called into the office on short notice. What's more, he had scheduled to have some contractors come to the house that day to replace the water-damaged floor in the kids' bathroom. He asked me to babysit his kids, which was no problem for me. I'm already familiar with the girls. For the most part, they're easy to handle if they're fed, and if you let them watch their shows on their TV. They're not in school yet either, so there's no homework to make them do. After I made them breakfast, I sat down with them in the living room and turned on the TV. A little later, the contractors arrived. The boss of the company who knocked on the door was an older bald guy with a white beard. Something about him seemed strange. Earlier, I hadn't considered that the workers would be something to watch out for. But when I met the boss, I felt like I should keep an eye on them. Then, the boss did something that set off some alarms. He came over to the girls and started talking to them. I don't exactly remember what he said, but it didn't really matter. The girls blew him off because they were glued to the TV. The boss laughed it off. Then I led him and his workers upstairs to the kids' bathroom, which is right next to their bedroom. While we were talking about the work, I caught the boss glancing into the kids' bedroom a few times. I tried not to let it bother me, but he was the only one of the team who appeared concerned with it. The boss said the work would take all day. It seemed like a small bathroom to me, but I didn't know anything about it, so I accepted it. I went downstairs and sat with the girls again. Not long after, the work started. It was really loud, as I expected, but it took the girls off guard. They started getting fussy because they couldn't hear the TV, so I suggested they play with their dolls, but those were upstairs. I didn't want them going up there, so I went up to get them. To my surprise, the boss was in the girls' bedroom, looking around at stuff. It seemed suspicious that he wasn't working with his employees. What are you doing in here?
I have to check if the water damage seeped through the wall into the bedroom.
Right. Then you should check the master bathroom. It also shares a wall with the kids' bathroom.
Of course.
I didn't know any better, so I assumed he was being truthful. But it still didn't sit right with me. Anyways, I grabbed the girls' dolls. I slowly fumbled around and lingered until the boss left the room. I made it back downstairs and gave the girls their dolls. They played around in the living room for a while. Then I made them some lunch around noon. After several hours of hearing the construction noises on top of their heads, the girls were totally over it and on the verge of having simultaneous breakdowns. I quickly took them outside to the backyard where it was much quieter and suggested they play some games outside. After a short discussion, they decided on playing fairies, which necessitated them wearing their fairy costumes, which were also upstairs. Again, I said I would take care of it. On my way up the steps, I passively wondered if I would catch the boss in the bedroom a second time. Lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. This time, he seemed a bit startled by my entrance and was breathing more heavily than before. I interrogated him a little more intensely, but it didn't yield any satisfying answers. He just kept rambling about a bunch of construction stuff that was all incomprehensible to me. Before the conversation became an altercation, I walked away and went back downstairs, where I had to redirect my attention back to helping the girls. I told them not to go upstairs and to change in the downstairs bathroom. I didn't tell them why, but I guarded the door until they were done. Finally, they were ready to play pretend outside, away from everything that was going on inside. Very quickly, they cheered up, but that gave me time to think. The more I thought, the more I had a terrible feeling about that contractor, and by association, all of his employees. I decided to call my brother to ask if he had a nanny cam in the bedroom so we could see what the boss was really doing in there. He said yes, but he didn't have time to check his phone at work. Instead, he told me to look at it on the iPad in his home office. So I did. What I saw made my skin crawl. I was more disgusted than I had ever been in my life, and at the same time, I was filled with rage. That construction creep made half a dozen trips into the kid's bedroom, each lasting several minutes. He rummaged through all the drawers in the dresser, rifled through the dirty clothes in the hamper, and even ran his hands all through the bed sheets. But the worst thing is what made me want to go upstairs and cave his skull in. He took a pair of one of the girls' dirty underwear. Then, he put it to his face and smelled it. Actually, it was more like he inhaled through it for a solid minute. That was from the moment I came up the second time, and I almost caught him right as he stuffed it in his pocket. After a moment of consideration, I decided the best thing to do was to kick every single one of them out immediately. There was a lot of pushback, but I didn't let up until they were out. I didn't say why. I just told them to never come back. I felt a little bad for leaving the girls without a finished bathroom, but I would rather them be safe than anything else. I called my brother back to say I needed to show him something as soon as I could. When he came home, I showed him the footage. He was incensed, furious, almost out of control. I've never seen him like that in my life. After he calmed down a bit, he called the police. At the current moment, he's working with the police and had just finished getting a different contractor to finish the work in the bathroom. I hope he gets that creep locked up. My first job was at a Walmart. I'd expected I'd last there for quite a few months, but one day, a customer yelled at me for having to wait in a not-so-long line. I left the next day because I took the insult quite personally. But as I grew older, I realized that the world is just never kind to people with no money. So I was hopping from one job to the other for some extra cash and benefits. After my grandma's death, I moved into her old apartment. I figured it'd be a good way to save on rent. I'm a high school dropout, so there wasn't much hope for me in high-paid jobs. The only experience I had was from working in general stores or shopping malls. When I was thinking of calling my old friend at Walmart, I saw a flyer stuck on a streetlight next to my apartment. It was a job advertisement from Domino's. They were looking for someone in customer service. The pay was good, and they promised to give free leftovers every other day. Free rent and free food. That could save me enough money monthly, I thought. So the next morning, I called the restaurant and fixed a meeting with its general manager. The pizza place was at 7 minutes walking distance from my apartment, so I was determined to get the job. The general manager asked me a few questions about how good I was at handling customers, and I obviously lied. I shouldn't have lied so much, but I desperately needed that job. The manager seemed satisfied with my answers and took me on a tour of the restaurant. The kitchen was at the back opening to a small backyard connecting to the sidewalks. There were two washrooms, one at the left and one at the right. The left one is for the customers and the right one is for the employees. He told me that apart from me, there's Oliver and two more chefs. Oliver's their oldest employee, so he kind of looks after the place. From food prep to customer service, Oliver takes care of everything, and the customers love him for his jolly nature. Within 3 days of joining, I too became friends with Oliver. The manager was right. Oliver's extroverted nature made him a perfect fit for a job like this. No matter how rude a customer was, Oliver always greeted them with a smile. Sometimes I couldn't help but ask him, "Seriously, dude, how could you be so nice to these jerks?" He would often laugh and say, "I'd rather kill them with my kindness." This made me think that Oliver had immense self-control. Until one day, when I learned what he actually meant. It was a boring Wednesday evening, because it was a slow day. I walked to the back for a smoke while Oliver handled the counter. When I came back, I saw this old man standing on the sidewalk right next to our entrance. He had a mysterious look on his face. I asked Oliver, "Why is he staring at us like that?" Oliver laughed and said,
"Haven't you seen a junkie before?"
After staring from outside for a minute straight, the man walked into the restaurant. His eyes were big and had lots of veins, which made his stare pretty frightening. He walked up to the counter and placed his hand on the surface. He had a weird haircut and was clean-shaven.
Welcome to Domino's. What would you like to order, sir?
He smirked at me and looked at the menu board above. Oliver was in the kitchen taking care of some deliveries, so it was just me and this man at the sitting area. He breathed very loudly, like he was trying to grab all the oxygen for himself. After spending quite some time eyeing the menu, the man asked me a weird question.
"Is it safe to eat here?"
I was really taken aback by this because Domino's has been quite a popular food chain for a long time. Thousands of people eat from here, and no one ever doubts our food. I assured him that we serve quality food. He ordered one large margarita pizza with no toppings. He emphasized very heavily not to add any toppings. I took his order to the kitchen and Oliver noticed my grumpy face. He asked me if anything was wrong and I told him about our new customer. Telling the chefs to prepare his order, Oliver and I came back to the counter. The man was eating salt from the salt shaker at the table.
"Man, what the heck is wrong with this guy?"
I whispered to Oliver. He didn't say anything. He just smiled. I realize he's more experienced than me, so customers like this don't bother him anymore. 10 minutes later, the chef rang the bell from the kitchen, letting us know the margarita was ready. I grabbed the pizza in a box and served it to the man's table. He looked at the pizza and then looked at my face. His eyes were wider than before. He was drooling from the corner of his mouth. I could tell he was hungry, but he didn't pick a single slice from the box.
"Is everything all right, sir?"
He murmured something in a low voice. I couldn't hear him clearly, but I was able to make out two words. "Not safe." Suddenly, he stood up and turned his head at the counter. Oliver was taking some orders on the phone, so he didn't notice the man looking at him. What happened afterward happened so quickly that I was left speechless. The weird customer ran straight to the counter and grabbed Oliver by his uniform. He then pulled him from the other side of the counter and pinned him down on the floor.
What are you doing?"
Oliver began to scream, but the man didn't explain anything. He just started kicking and punching Oliver like crazy. With every hit, he screamed,
"Not safe! Not safe! Not safe!"
I shouted for help and tried to separate the man from poor Oliver, but the man was in his beast mode. The chefs came out from the kitchen and somehow managed to pull the man away. Oliver was sent to the hospital with a swollen face and a bloody nose, and the man was taken into custody. When the cops interrogated him about why he did what he did, he showed them a video that he secretly recorded from the back window opening to our Domino's kitchen. In that video, there was Oliver and another former employee, and this is what they were doing.
Here's Michael.
That's you!
Cutting somebody's cheese stick.
That big boogie.
This cheese stick's pretty lonely over here. I think it needs to be boxed. We'll see who it's going to.
I've always loved taking care of children. All of my kids are fully grown, so I jumped on the opportunity to babysit for my neighbor when she needed it. She lives right across the street from me. 2 years ago, she had a baby with a man who left shortly after the boy was born. She was devastated. The father was supposed to provide for them, but without him around, she had to get a full-time job to pay her bills. I offered to care for her boy while she was at work. She thanked me profusely and wanted to pay me, but I never wanted any money for it. I'm a retired widow. My son moved back in with me recently after falling on hard times, but at the time I was also an empty nester. Having a little baby to take care of improved my quality of life immensely. I honestly don't have anything better to do, and I truly enjoyed it. The little boy's name is Tyler. I've come to love him like my own son. I watched him grow up, learn to walk and talk, and become one major troublemaker of a toddler. But he's a sweetheart. He calls me Nana. I love being called Mama, but I always secretly wanted to be called Nana, too. Today, Tyler's 2 years old, almost three. A month ago, I was taking him for a walk, something we do every morning after breakfast. It helps him get some energy out. About a block away from the house, I saw a man standing crookedly at the corner. He looked homeless, and he was holding a can of some kind of spray. I assumed he was huffing it. I didn't want to get any closer to him, let alone take a stupid chance and try walking past him, so I turned around. Tyler was confused and a little upset that I was cutting the walk short. But I told him I'd explain why when we got home. As we turned the corner, I glanced over my shoulder and my heart sank. The man was now walking toward us. He was staggering, but he was moving quickly. At this point, Tyler started to fuss and tried to stop walking, so I picked him up and carried him the rest of the way home. We were only a few hundred feet away, but it felt like a mile. By the time I got up on the stoop, the man was right in front of the house. I rushed inside and slammed the door as fast as I could. But before I could lock it, the man barged into the house. The door hit me in the face and knocked me over. I managed to keep Tyler in my arms so he didn't get hurt, but I immediately had to toss him to the side because the man was coming straight for me. He got on top of me and pinned me down, then started hitting me in the face with the bottom of a spray can. I put up my hands to try and protect myself, but he just beat me right through them. I couldn't get him off me either. He had the mindless strength of a fiend. Poor Tyler was watching the whole thing and started to cry. For a moment, the man stopped beating me. I thought for just a split second that God was using Tyler's screams to make the man realize what he was doing. I was wrong. He took a lighter out of his pocket and put it in front of the spray can. Then he lit it and sprayed right through it. In an instant, my face was engulfed in flames. The first burst of fire hit me straight in my open eyes. I screamed and tried to cover my hands with my face. Through the deafening sound of the fire in my ears, I heard Tyler wailing louder than he ever did. This angered the man attacking me. He stopped burning me, then stood up. I immediately tried to go after him and protect Tyler, but then he lifted up his foot and slammed it right down on my head. He stomped on my face three or four more times until I was barely conscious. I was blind and dazed, barely even capable of moving. I was unable to see what happened next, but I heard it crystal clear, and it haunts my dreams every single night. The man went over to Tyler, who was defenseless and terrified. Tyler was so shocked that he couldn't even run away. All he could do was scream and cry for help. And it sent the attacker into an even deeper rage. That sick, twisted demon burned Tyler's face. Tyler howled in pain, but the demon didn't let up. He held that flamethrower on his face for 10 or 15 seconds. He only stopped because the cam ran out.
Shut the hell up! I'm tired of you screaming!
When it was over, I tried to curse at him. I could only let out a weak groan, but it was enough to make him come back over and kick me in the chest. I felt like I couldn't breathe. For the moment, Tyler had stopped crying. I'm not positive, but I believe he simply passed out from the pain. Unfortunately, I have to say I'm glad he did. Otherwise, that man probably would have killed him. After he had finished with us, the man proceeded to rob the house. He ran out with whatever he could carry in his pockets, which amounted to about $2,000 worth of my neighbor's belongings. When he left, Tyler woke up, started to cry and scream. I finally calmed my breath and called for help.
I'm so sorry, Tyler. Somebody, help us!
Sounds poured out through the open door and frightened the whole neighborhood. Thankfully, my son arrived home from a job interview just a few minutes later. When he got out of his car, he heard this screaming and rushed over to help us. Tyler and I were taken to the hospital. I had a cracked rib and wounds on my face, but only minor burns. Tragically, while Tyler wasn't beaten, he got second and third degree burns all over his head and face. His eyesight will never be what it was, and he will likely be permanently scarred. As for the man who should be in hell, the police have not caught him yet. I'm too far-sighted in my old age to have gotten a good look at his face. And not many people in the neighborhood can even afford doorbell cameras. Everyone in the community is heartbroken, especially the poor boy's mother. I wish I did more to protect Tyler. I keep telling myself that if I'd just been 1 second faster, it all could have been avoided.
I'm a single mother with an 11-year-old daughter. I work full-time, and I'm also on call for extra work when I'm home, so I don't have a lot of time to cook. I usually pick up something on my way home from work, or get something delivered if there's nothing I can microwave in the house. Luckily, my daughter's a big fan of pizza, and there's a Domino's in a shopping plaza near my house, so we eat from there at least once or twice a week. I tend to get there around 6 p.m. At that time, all the shops and restaurants in the plaza are busy, but Domino's is typically a major exception. I knew that was a bad sign, but for multiple reasons, I stuck with it so I didn't have to wait in a long line. Whenever I go inside to order, I'm usually the only customer in there, and it always has the same workers because of how regular my schedule is. The cook is this tall, burly guy who honestly looked kind of dumb. He always moved very slowly, but he did his job well. The cashier, on the other hand, was quite the opposite. He was short and scrawny. His skin was always greasy and pimply, and he constantly fidgeted with his hands or his jaw. At first, it was just a bunch of poor attempts at making conversation, which I was captive to until my pizza was done. Over time, however, he started to think we were friends. He started asking a lot of personal questions, like where I worked, what kind of job I had, if I had a husband or a boyfriend, even where I lived. I always pushed through it and told him as little as possible. Unfortunately, he was extremely persistent. Every day I went back, he got pushier with me, and he would get angry when I didn't tell him what he wanted to hear. I started dreading picking up pizzas because of him. Unfortunately, the next nearest pizza place was far out of my way, and it was a much crappier chain. I couldn't just stop bringing pizzas home, though. My only other options were burger joints and Asian restaurants, neither of which my daughter cares for. So I kept dealing with the creepy cashier. On Valentine's Day, things came to a head. The cashier was extra smiley when I walked in. I smiled back and tried to place my usual order. The cashier completely ignored it and instead started talking to me. But this time he was clearly not going to take no for an answer.
Can you just place my order, please? We can talk while he's making it.
Where's the rush, babe? The pizza's not going anywhere.
I'm just trying to get home soon, okay? I'm hungry and tired, and my daughter is waiting for me.
Don't you want something nicer than pizza for Valentine's Day?
No, I'm fine with pizza. Could you please place my order?
Why are you selling yourself short? Let me take you to dinner somewhere fancy. You can have a few glasses of wine. Then we can go back to your place and I'll make your toes curl. A woman like you deserves to have her brain melted.
Ew, just stop.
You said you have a daughter, right? I'd like to see if your looks run in the family.
God, you're such a freak! All I want from you is a large Hawaiian pizza!
Stop playing hard to get! I know what you want better than you do! Goddamn ungrateful bimbo!
Stop it! Just leave me alone!
You know what? I just remembered.
You don't have to be conscious!
Suddenly, the cashier tried to grab me over the counter. I stepped back and prepared to run for my life. He started to climb on the counter, but then, at the last second, the cook came up and put his hand on the cashier's shoulder. The cook didn't even say anything. He just shook his head. But somehow, that was enough to defuse the cashier's rage.
You're right, she's not worth it.
He was very quiet after that, but I could see the anger in his eyes. He finally put the order in for my pizza. Then, after a few tense minutes of waiting, I was on my way. On the drive home, I promised myself I'd never go back to that Domino's. When I got home, my daughter and I wasted no time devouring the pizza. But something wasn't right about it. From the very first bite, it tasted damp and rotten. It was absolutely disgusting, and my daughter agreed. We inspected the pizza for bugs or spit or some other device of the cashier's revenge, but we couldn't see anything wrong with it. Then, we turned it over and discovered that the entire base of the pizza was infested with black mold. My daughter started crying and vomiting. I thought I was going to be sick too. I think the only reason I didn't puke was because my rage was more powerful. I called the Domino's location and chewed them out. To my surprise, the cashier was strangely apologetic. He offered to deliver another pizza for free and refund the first one. I agreed. But as soon as I gave him my address, I regretted it. Several minutes later, my doorbell rang. I opened the door and saw that for some reason, the cashier was delivering the pizza. He abandoned the cook to do both their jobs just to come to my house. He was smiling smugly, like this was all part of his plan.
You've got a wonderful home. Mind if I come in?
There's no way in hell you're coming in here. Just give me the pizza and piss off.
I told him to leave, but he tried to step into my house. I grabbed the pizza out of his hands, then shoved him out the door and locked it. He stood outside screaming obscenities at me for several minutes before he finally left. I checked the base of the second pizza out of caution. And sure enough, it was just as infested with mold as the first one. My daughter was distraught. I called Domino's customer service line and made a complaint against the location as soon as possible, threatening to sue if they didn't do anything. But honestly, they didn't do anything of significance. That's why I took to social media to expose the creeps who run that pigsty of a restaurant. The post got a lot of attention. But honestly, I wish I could just forget about all of it. Unfortunately, I can't. I gave that sicko my address. And every day, I worry that he's going to show up inside my house.